Welcome to the Mothercare plc quarter three trading update. My name is Sarah and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to Simon Calver to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's been a busy morning, but welcome to our Q3 trading update for the 13-week period to the 12th of January 2013. I'll run through the highlights of the quarter before opening the call to questions, which Dominic Lavelle, our Interim Finance Director, and I will be happy to answer. When I last updated you in November, I noted that we were cautious going into our most important quarter, the Q3. So against a challenging consumer backdrop in the UK and the Eurozone, I can report that we've delivered a solid Q3, which is in line with our expectations. We're making further progress towards improving value, choice and service for our customers, and they tell us through our inline customer survey, My Customer, that they're beginning to see the difference, but there is still more to do. Spring-Summer 13 is all about even more value, even more innovation, and an even greater focus on service. These are trends we want to accelerate over the coming quarters. I'm encouraged by what we've achieved so far, and I'll give you some highlights in a moment, but importantly, we remain on track with our three-year transformation and growth plan. Turning to this morning's statement, international has continued to grow at double-digit rates. Total UK sales have declined, reflecting the planned closure of loss-making stores, and cash has been tightly controlled with a continued focus on cash margin. Our international business opened a net 31 stores during the quarter, and we closed the period with 1,129 stores across 61 countries. We remain on track to grow space by 15% during the current financial year. International retail sales were up 14.8% in constant currency, with both like-for-like sales and space growing during the quarter. Despite the well-documented issues across Eurozone, all four of our international regions have now made positive contributions in terms of retail sales and like-for-like sales growth. The Middle East and Africa and Asia Pacific have seen double-digit retail sales growth, while our newest region, Latin America, has grown rapidly from a low base. Europe has been weaker, but nevertheless positive. And as we highlighted in the previous trading updates, issues across the Eurozone have impacted both trading and exchange rates. Therefore, reported retail sales growth for international was 12% for the quarter. In the UK, we've closed 42 predominantly ELC stores so far this year and are well on track to meet our target of 50 store closures for the current financial year. As expected and in line with our three-year plan, these closures of loss-making stores have had an impact on total UK sales, which were down 12.9% during Q3. We flagged in November that Q3 comparatives were tougher, and so our UK like-for-like sales decline of 5.9% is in line with our expectations. Direct in-home sales were up at 0.9%, and December was stronger than the rest of the quarter, as we saw direct in-home sales grow over 12% during the four trading weeks of December. The improved customer proposition, along with the transition to our new online platform, have helped, but the logistics behind the frontline website coped well this year, and teams have done a great job to make this possible. We launched our new app on November the 24th in time for Christmas peak trading, and I'm pleased with the results so far. Already we've had over 60,000 downloads of the app. Conversion rates and average ticket values, importantly, are higher than the mobile site itself. Importantly, we've been able to cope with this level of traffic and fulfilled our orders successfully. We've made good progress with product two. We knew it was going to take us a season or two at least before we began to see the results. The spring-summer 13 ranges that are going into stores are now building well. We've made incremental improvements to the range in terms of number of SKUs and value, and I would expect this to continue in the season to come. Following a very successful first season for our value clothing range, we've increased the spring-summer 13 buy threefold to meet demand. Overall, we've brought down clothing prices by low double digits for the second successive season, which will give us a further boost to our value credentials. We're continuing to offer our customers choice and value across our price architecture, with Little Bird by Jules Oliver extended this season and continuing Baby K, which is now in its 11th season, Both are at the top end of our pricing architecture. Today, we're also launching our own brand feeding range, Innocence, in the UK. It is a complete feeding system with bottles, bottle warmers, sterilizer, breast pumps, and other accessories. And this is a significant product innovation and introduction under the Mothercare brand for us. And we've taken time to train staff across all of our UK stores. It's been tested extensively with mums. And I can say that I, too, have been involved since the birth of my daughter, Neve, a month ago. It really is an excellent product, and we believe it will help us to reinforce our position as the UK's mother and baby specialist. Our international partners have all expressed interest and will begin to roll out Innocence to our international markets from the end of February. So to conclude, international continues to deliver double-digit growth despite the adverse trading conditions seen across the Eurozone. In the UK, we are improving value, increasing choice, and our ongoing investment in staff training is beginning to have a beneficial impact as feedback from our My Customer survey show. Despite the challenging trading conditions in the UK and Eurozone, we remain on track for the current year and the transformation and growth plan over 3 years. So let me now open the line to questions, which Dominic and myself will be happy to answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Our first question comes from the line of Ethan O'Leary from Ariel. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's Ethan O'Leary from Ariel. I'm just wondering, in relation to the UK like-for-like, if you could just please characterise that in terms of the decline between what happened to volume and price within the mix.
Yeah, so, morning, Ethan. Overall, I think it was in line with our expectations. We knew going into the quarter, as we flagged last time, that it was going to be a tougher trading environment. We certainly saw that, and the BRC figures across the whole of the space sort of matched that as well, saying that it was a slower start and a bigger Christmas. So I would say that both from a volume and from an activity point of view, very much in line with our expectations and very similar to what's happened in previous years.
Well, can you say specifically what happened on volumes?
Not specifically, because then obviously that gets into margin questions and things like that. But overall, I would say, in line with expectations, very much what we'd expected, and certainly from a volume point of view, clearly in line with what we've seen for the rest of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of John Stevenson from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions from me. Just on gross margin, I know you don't want to give a number out, but I think you wanted to show progress against the 150 bips decline in H1. Can you sort of confirm if you've achieved that? Second question was on the stores. If we look at the ongoing estate, can you talk probably qualitatively about what's happening to performance and KPIs? Now you've sort of had 6 months or so of new range and focus coming in, seeing if you're actually sort of making progress. And a final question just on toy performance over peak, if maybe give a little bit more information about how trading was and what's the sort of stock situation there.
Right, so on the first point, John, we don't go into margin at this stage, so we're not commenting on that, but we'll be obviously happy to as we get the financials at the year end.
But John, we picked it up earlier on, but yep. the last phrase, the last sentence of the trading announcement tells you that there has been no deterioration, no change in our expectations for the full year. Our financial position is unchanged.
Okay, fine. No, I'm happy with you're happy with numbers are out there. I just wondered if you sort of made progress.
Yeah. On the store side. And the range, when we launched the three-year plan, we knew, given the buying cycle that we have, which is nearly 12 months, that it was going to take us a couple of seasons to get the product in.
Mm-hmm.
An early indication of success around the value range. We've seen early indication at the top end of our pricing architecture and Little Bird and Baby K in clothing and the price match activity that we're doing in home and travel, we continues to work for us. So what we'll see certainly over this season in spring-summer are you know, more changes, and then I would see that it would be autumn winter before, you know, we begin to get what I would call the full, more ideal range of products and pricing architecture begin to planned in. So making progress there. We touched on at the mid-year point what we're doing when we refurbish stores. We're really seeing a pop in performance and growth. Edmonton store in particular we touched on.
Yep.
So we're continuing to look at opportunities where we can invest in the store base to, you know, give it a good customer experience and make it, you know, better and easier to shop for mums. And we continue to work on the whole visual merchandising that I would say, and as touched on before, you know, has been more of a challenge for us as a business, which is in terms of communicating clear messages around products. So all in all, we continue to focus and work on that. And the My Customer scores, which is the survey that we track on a day-by-day, store-by-store, week-by-week basis, you know, is beginning to bear that out in terms of some of the changes that we're seeing. So focusing on the store service, getting the product range and in-store experience right, and investing where we see an opportunity.
Okay, so you are seeing an improvement in the sort of My Customer stores?
Yes, we are.
Great. And any other sort of KPIs that you can point to that are improving too?
No, I think we started at the My Customer scores towards the bottom end of the 60%. You know, getting over 70 is a key for us, and we're getting now to high 60s. So it's work in progress. We're making you know, good directional movement there, and I would expect that to continue through the year.
Okay, great, thanks. And just in terms of the sort of toy performance and the current stock position.
Yeah, there was lots of coverage on toys in the press coming up to the Christmas period, and you know, lots of discussions about how much it was down versus prior year, etc. I think we experienced what everybody else did, which November and early December was, you know, very tough and slow, and people were looking for opportunities.
Mm.
And certainly, we've looked at, you know, the whole promotional activity that we laid in and what we need to overlay on that, which we did, and we, you know, had stronger performance over the actual December weeks itself relative to the rest of the quarter. So I think we were very much in line on the whole area. Toys that performed particularly well for us. We talked about the Key Boom board and other sort of interactive music products that worked well for us. You know, the tablets and interactive products go well. But we're still seeing, I think we sold over the period, you know, over 500,000 cars and 500,000 animals and about over 250,000 cars. So, you know, a lot of mix, but very much in line with what we had. It just came a lot later this year, I think, than previous years.
Okay. Okay, brilliant. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Matthew McEachran from N Plus One Sigma. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. It's Matthew here.
Morning, Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Can we just go back to the, you know, the sort of, you know, the modernised stores, or should we call it the continuing estate? I mean, out of the 289 stores you've got currently, it looks like, based upon your three-year plan, sort of 80 to 90 of those are for the departure lounge. I was wondering if you'd just give us an approximate, you know, gap between, in terms of performance on a like-for-like basis, between the two parts of the estate.
Yeah, we don't think about it specifically, Matthew, but what we can say is that overall, the, you know, over 80% of the stores that we're closing down are early learning centres, and rather than mother care, you know, we still see a very strong performance in mother care, both in out of town and, you know, high street relative to what mums want. And I think going back to what mums want and getting the right store proposition and investment is going to be an important part of the next few years for us in that. So I think it's more, so therefore what you can boil that down to is how is early learning center performing relative to the rest of the business. We don't break that down, but, you know, Q3 for us, the Christmas quarter, you know, begins to remain an incredibly important quarter for early learning center, and it was sort of very much in line with our expectations there. So we're down to 269 stores. We've 69 to go before we hit our target. We had a target of 50 this year, which we're, you know, well on track for hitting. So overall, I think we're in line. Those are the unprofitable stores. Those tend to be the early learning center estate. And we're continuing to look at opportunities with mothercare.
Okay, so the, although you're not going to give a number, the like-for-like decline in the continuing part of the estate, you know, considerably more modest compared to the headline number.
Yeah, I think the key thing for us is it's all about what is our cash margin focus. I think, you know, it would be foolish for us as a business to chase like-for-likes for unprofitable business.
Okay.
The stores we're closing down are unprofitable stores, stores that, have and will have no plans to become profitable for us. So it just makes absolute sense for us to do that. And so the way I like to, think about those the stores is, rather than getting to the like-for-like comparisons, is the difference between profitable stores and unprofitable stores and getting after those unprofitable stores. And you're right, there is a general trend that unprofitable stores tend to be slower performing and therefore slower growth. But, nothing that we can break out explicitly.
Okay. All right. That's nonetheless reasonably useful. Could you just talk a little bit about in-store click and collect patterns and maybe just give us a flavor as to whether or not, there's been an improvement in the mix there, i.e. participation, and whether or not you're driving incremental sales when customers do come in to collect their products. And then the final sort of tag on that is, how have you managed the traffic? In some of the newer modernized stores, you are creating separate areas for collect, but obviously in older parts of the state, you don't have that. Can you just give us a flavor as to how you've, what the patterns have been and how you've managed it?
Yeah, I think it's very early days for that. I continue to recognize that this is a big opportunity for us as a business. We're only have launched next day collection towards the back end of last calendar year in our top 40 stores, and this quarter we'll begin to roll that out through the rest of the estate. Now we're through our Christmas trading peak in online delivery. So I still think we have a big opportunity to go for in the click and collect component. All of our stores have stock rooms that is able to cope with the business that operates currently. And you're right, in the new bigger stores, we're actually putting separate click and collect areas in, which is really beginning to benefit it. So for me, I think it's a combination of both the front end changes that you put on the website to highlight click and collect more than we have been currently, so we'll continue to push that, as well as actually beginning to highlight in store, which we're starting to do now with some point of sale, to begin to tell our customers that, if we don't have something, then you can click and collect and come back to the store tomorrow or later this week to do it. And, for example, we sell over 300 more pushchairs than, anybody else, any competitor that we have in the UK in terms of model numbers, and there's no way we can have all those in stores. So, again, there's a real opportunity for us to push this. And the trend is improving. It's improving slowly, but it's a big opportunity for us to accelerate it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks for that. And if you don't mind, can I just come back to what I felt were sort of two kind of unanswered questions? You just give us a flavor roughly as to what you thought the average ASP movement was over the quarter. I mean, were ASPs down 3 or 4% on average, or was it slightly more significant than that?
Yeah, we don't break down that specifics, but we can certainly come to it at the year end.
Okay. All right. And then on the categories, fairly encouraging comments that you're making about toys. I mean, it sounds like generally it's been a tough market, but you think you're broadly in line overall with the market on toys? I think that's what you were saying?
Yeah, I think certainly in our experience would match what the experiences were in the market for sure. And, I think we continue to do well on clothing, of improving the ranges, getting more value in there, getting, better merchandising in store that we're beginning to, slowly make progress on. Again, we've still got a way to go, but making progress. And home and travel tends to slow down before the Christmas period, as a lot of people are focusing on gifts, and then that comes into its own in the January sale period, which obviously we're still in for a lot of home and travel items.
Yeah, and so just really on the other category I just wanted to ask about was in clothing. I mean, you've anecdotally, having been around stores, and I know you manage stock very tightly, but you presumably had stockouts in value lines, but it looked like you may have had some stockouts in some of the premium lines as well. So would it be fair to say that from a sort of architecture perspective, that you kind of missed out at both ends in terms of potentially missed sales, or is that being a bit harsh?
Well, I think I highlighted earlier in the some of the announcements that I made that I thought there was a big opportunity for us to improve availability in store. The models that we've operated to as a business, are being refined at the moment, and we're beginning to see changes come through in our, availability. We're in the middle of season change at the moment, so you run down some of the fashion components from autumn, winter 12, and you begin to build up 13, and that will all be in store, from next week onwards. So I think the whole availability piece is something that I'm very conscious that we need to improve, and we're getting through. And I think that is full margin sales opportunity that we, you know, that we haven't been making the most of. And certainly I would expect to see that improve over the next calendar year.
Yeah, okay. Your internal KPIs and availability, are they still at close to the sort of the historical, you know, poorer level, or have you seen any improvement thus far?
No, we've seen improvement.
We've seen the
improvement in those. It's beginning to come through a little bit in the customer feedback as well, although there tends to be a lag in that. We're seeing progress in that area. So all in all, you know, it's a changing that part of the business takes time, but we are seeing progress, and that progress is being recognized by some of the by the customer feedback.
That's great. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Adam Cochrane from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Firstly, congratulations on the birth of your daughter.
Thank you very much, Adam.
In terms of everything, you know, being on track, as you say, I personally thought that direct-at-home sales growth of 1% was a bit disappointing. Was that 1% in line with your expectations?
I think the key thing, if you look at the comps both of online and of in-store versus Q3, then obviously we were lapping much harder figures. So, yeah, we were expecting that to be, you know, significantly down. So the answer to that is therefore yes. And what we're beginning to see is progress coming through. So a lot of the new things we're doing on delivery, a lot of the new things we're doing on click and collect in store, a lot of the initiatives around, you know, baby plan, and all those are a lot of activity in this quarter. So all in all, in line with expectation, and with continuing to see online grow, you know, ahead of stores.
And in line with BRC and obviously a very strong December.
Yeah.
I would have thought that internet sales growth over the period would have been higher than 1% across the broader market and even within your categories. So would you say that you've lost a bit of market share online?
I think the, you know, I go back to the key point sort of I made earlier when talking to Matthew, which is about the whole cash fam point of view. I think what would be, you know, would be wrong as a business is just to chase volume at this stage. The key thing is what is profitable sales? That's, you know, our key priority remains turning the UK into profitability. And at a time when, you know, everybody is out there trying to get the promotions and we're reacting and managing that well too, it very much, you know, was in line with our expectations. And coming into this quarter, I said, you know, very clearly that I thought this was going to be a tough and challenging quarter. It proved to be the case, and we're ended up in line with where we thought we would be.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jean Rush from Panmure Gordon. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Congratulations as well on the birth of Niamh. I just had a couple of questions. One, just going back to the like-for-like and trying to get a better feel for each category, would you say that between clothing, travel and toys, which category did best in terms of like-for-like and which was weakest?
Yeah, we don't break that out specifically in terms of the period. I think overall, you know, we'd say that, you know, some of the activities we're putting through, price matching in home and travel, value coming through in clothing, and on the toy side, were very much, you know, in aggregate, you know, very much in line with our expectations. So I think that, you know, we certainly look at the BRC data, we compare ourselves to what's going on out there, we look at the market share. So I think, you know, overall, as we've stated, you know, very much on track.
Okay. Just to check quickly, is click and collect included in direct and home? I assume it is.
Jean, click and collect would depend on really where it's coming from. So if it has been ordered outside of our store network by customers either in their offices or homes, then it would be included in direct and home. If it were ordered in the store for collection in store, then it would be included in direct and store.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then in terms of conversion rates, did you see those improve in December versus the other 2 months? How was the pattern there?
Yeah, no, very much so. I think that the conversion rate sort of followed the overall sales pattern as demand came in the last, you know, weeks of December. Then that would have, you know, that impacted conversion rates and, interestingly, average order sizes as well.
Okay. And In terms of discounting, how does it compare this year with what you were doing last year? I mean, you discounted pretty heavily last year, so would you say, I would hope you've discounted a bit less this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, to go back to the point about cash fam, you know, it's a not sort of being busy fools and just chasing revenue for the sake of it, ensuring that we're getting profitability, and we knew that going in, and we certainly have the you know, the data that backs that up. So overall, I would say that you know, we've managed to control that in line with expectations and better than the last year.
And a question on the Edmonton store. I mean, how much better than your sort of more normal stores is that performing in terms of, say, sales density? You know, what can we expect from other stores that might be done up in that way?
The overall Edmonton store itself, specifically, we saw a 30% increase in the overall sales. So if you compare, you know, that, if we had the rest of the state going at plus 30% where we are, and you get
it was a particularly bad store before we converted.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But the point is that for me, it's encouraging from a customer point of view that when we get the in-store experience right, we are getting response. But you know, I certainly wouldn't expect that level of increase in other areas.
Double digit. I mean, you know, obviously, if we spend capex in refurbing stores, it's got to produce the hurdle rates, and you know, sales increases of double digit normally do the trick.
Yeah, and I also, you know, I know we've already talked a bit about the 0.9% growth in online sales in the 3 months. Could it be that perhaps the platform, although it was revamped in May, it might need a little more investment, that might, you know, bring you up with what the rest of the market is doing? You know, would you like to be able to spend more on it?
I don't think we need to explicitly spend more on the platform. It's
demand,
just about the, you know, it's two things. One is demand, and then it's secondly about the infrastructure around direct, which is all about the logistics to delivery and home that I've been into in more detail in previous quarters. And explaining that. So very much I think that, you know, the platform is performing, you know, certainly as we expected to do, and it has a lot more flexibility and scalability still. There is some functionality that we continue to improve, but then everybody would continue to improve certain components of it. But it's how we deliver, how we collect in store, how we deliver to home, two-man delivery, all those points to me are as important, if not more important for us at this stage to get right as part of the direct business.
Okay, and when do you think you'll be able to do next day click and collect in all stores? It's 40 at the moment.
Yeah, so we're planning to roll that out through this quarter.
So in all stores by the end of this quarter?
Yeah, we were waiting for the Christmas peak to get through, so we weren't doing two or three things and stressing the system too much. We wanted to ensure good customer experience in online, and so we'll be rolling that out through this quarter.
And just back to Matthew's question on availability, you were saying you've had some improvement on availability. Where would you say you are relative to your goal now?
I'd say we've still got a way to go. Our customers tell us we've still got a way to go, but we're making good progress. And certainly over the course of the next next 12 months, then I would expect us to begin to get towards our goal. And the reason it takes that amount of time is just that our buying cycle is relatively long, as you know, and it takes a bit of time to get the order right and the distribution processes changed. So we'll continue over the course of the next 12 months to improve that.
Okay. And then, you don't want to give in much detail on the like-for-like breakdown, but could we get any feel for the like-for-likes by month, whether December was slightly better than October, November?
We don't break it down at this stage.
No. Okay, then. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanjay Vidyarthi from Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Morning. A couple of questions. First one is just on operating costs. I know there's obviously no change to your guidance on that front, but just wanting to understand if, in terms of the ups and downs of where there may have been savings ahead of expectations or costs ahead of expectations, in areas such as head office, like store closure costs, or even kind of investment in terms of store staff. Is there anything you can say on that front?
Yeah, no, nothing really, Sanjay, than other than we've reported before, which is, you know, we're certainly on track on the cost base. As you rightly said, no change in terms of the overall, you know, market expectations and of what we'll deliver this year. So very much on track to do that. And all of the initiatives that we outlined way back in May as part of the transformation and growth plan, we're achieving how we expected them to. So, you know, it's very early days, as we've touched on, but certainly very much in line, you know, across the cost base as well as the rest of the business.
Okay. Second question is just, do we have a start date for Matt Smith yet?
Waiting to have that confirmed, and as soon as it gets finalized, then I will certainly issue something out.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask your question, please press star one. And we have a question from the line of John Stevenson from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Well, just a quick follow-up. You mentioned the three-time, sort of threefold increase in value range for spring-summer.
Yeah.
I mean, would you see that, how would you see the sort of good, better, best sort of percentages shifting as we move towards autumn-winter next year?
Yeah, I think that we will increasingly see the value, or, you know, the good component change. This is not about Mothercare becoming a discounter. This is about Mothercare having a good pricing architecture. So, you know, I would expect us to be sort of 20% value in the shorter term. And if we ended up across the business having a good balance in our pricing architecture, then I would certainly, you know, sort of expect that to evolve, but slowly. And I wouldn't see it getting, you know, significantly greater than a third over any time period.
Okay. Okay, great. No, thanks.
Thank you. We have no further questions coming through, so I hand the call back to Simon Calver for any concluding comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. With no further questions, let me sort of bring things to a close. You know, overall, you know, international continues to deliver on double-digit growth, despite the challenges we're seeing in the Eurozone. In the UK, we continue to close loss-making stores, focus on the cost-cutting that we talked about. You know, that was a very much a how do we get the UK to profitability as a self-help initiatives. And we've seen direct respond, particularly over the December period, as we focus on getting value, choice, and service for our customers out there. And the key message for me is, you know, we're on track. It was a three-year plan that we laid out. We're 9 months in, and, you know, we see ourselves on track for both this year and for the three-year transformation and growth plan. So thank you for joining the call, and I look forward to updating you and speaking to you all in due course.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.